Joining us now, we have the head golf professional out at TPC Southwind, Nick Kenneke. Nick, welcome into the golf shop.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
So, all the stands getting ready, all the ropes up. Are we ready for this golf tournament?
We are completely ready for this golf tournament. Got a couple more structures that need to go up, but as far as all the main facilities on property, there's a lot of purple and orange throughout our golf course right now, and we're ready for tournament time.
So when you guys go to get ready for this, I mean, it's not your first rodeo. I mean, are there places that you wish they would adjust and maybe have different TV towers based on what you know of the course?
From a logistical standpoint, all of our TV towers are actually in some pretty good spots. A good example of that is the television tower behind the 14th green, which historically has been a very famous par 3 on our golf course that the PGA Tour players have actually had problems with. They've actually moved the tee back from about 210, 215 yards to now 175, 195. But that television tower is actually in a really good spot. It looks right down the hill. It's got the lake in view, and it kind of looks at a green that is almost a peninsula-like green that goes into the lake. It's a very cool view, very good for television. And this past winter, we actually built up a stone retaining wall to kind of make that shot look a little bit better as well. So we're not necessarily moving television towers or, you know, wanting to change the locations of those, but we're actually just improving the holes so that they look better based on where those towers are.
So, Nick, if you weren't working, is that where we would find you with a frosty beverage watching the tournament there at the top of 14?
It would either be there or actually this year we've built some stands behind the 11th hole, which is a par 3. It actually mirrors the 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass a little bit, which is the Island Green. So the 11th hole at our facility is also an Island Green, and the stands behind that we're calling the Island Club. So if you were to, you know, potentially lose me for an hour or two, I would be at the Island Club enjoying something along that line.
Wait, so the Island Club, are there like drinks with little umbrellas in them at the Island Club?
You know what? I'm not sure, but if I had to take a stab at it, I would say yes.
Are there pictures of Sergio crying?
Oh, man.
Well, actually, I have a question about having that hole so closely mirror the 17th. I mean, looking at your scorecard, it doesn't play as one of your harder holes. But is it just not as menacing, or how is it easier than TPC Sawgrass?
It's funny you say that. There's actually not much. The lake around the 11th green isn't as big as the lake around 17, so you're not seeing as much water. I think that's probably one of the reasons that makes the 17th hole TPC Sawgrass, the stadium course, so intimidating, is that there's such a large body of water around that, and it's so wide that it's one of the visuals that you have when you stand on that tee box. Our lake is a little bit smaller. The shot is still very difficult, don't get me wrong. But as far as wind swirling and, kind of Mother Nature playing in effect there, it doesn't really make that shot all too difficult.
Is there any credence to the fact that maybe it's a little easier because it's number 11 and it's not number 17? I mean, if you took 17 at Sawgrass and let's say made it 11 or 12 at Sawgrass, does it become a little bit easier hole? Does the positioning of it at 17 make it a little bit harder automatically?
I really think it does. Coming down the stretch, you got to hit a golf shot, and it's not a very easy golf shot at that. So I think you're right. Being a little bit earlier in the back nine makes that hole probably not as intimidating as it could be. But, you know, given that fact, it's still a very good hole. And the fact that we have the Island Club now kind of creates a little bit of excitement in the beginning part of that back nine. So on Sunday, there'll be a little bit of noise. I know the tournament office is actually going with a little bit of the Greenbrier structure. So if someone makes a hole-in-one on the 11th hole, everyone sitting in the Island Club actually gets, I believe, $100 at that time. So pretty cool Jim Justice-like thing we got going on here in Memphis.
So when you start to look at the course shaping up overall, where do you see spots where players can make a run and where we might see some carnage? I kind of like the carnage.
He does like the carnage.
you can easily see someone dunk one in on 11. 12 is a very difficult hole, especially if the breeze is into the right, because that large lake on the right-hand side that goes all the way along the hole can definitely come into play. And then, obviously, you have hazards on 14 and 15 as well. So I'd say pretty much from 11 to 15, you can see a lot of carnage. And then 16 and 17, you'll see guys making some birdies and some eagles on 16, possible birdie opportunity on 17, and then just hanging on and trying to finish on 18.
Again, speaking with the head golf professional out at the TPC of Southwind and host of the FedEx St. Jude Classic, Nick Kenneke. And Nick, you know, I look back at previous winners of this golf tournament, and I see guys that putt really well, like a Brian Gay, a Ben Crane. I see guys who tend to get it in play and have solid iron play, like a Lee Westwood or Justin Leonard. And then I see guys who bomb it, like a Harrison Frazier or a Dustin Johnson. So you've kind of covered all of the opportunities to play the game or the course differently. Who does this course really set up for the best, knowing that we've kind of had everybody from across the board win it?
I think it sets up for a player who hits really good, crisp iron shots. I think it's a second-shot golf course. You have to place yourself into a position where, one, you're not going to three-putt for bogey, but two, you're going to keep the ball below the hole and give yourself a really good birdie opportunity. You know, you can spray it off the tee a little bit here. Whether or not we really get the rough up to that 2.5-3 inch mark is kind of yet to be seen. We've had a little bit cooler of a spring thus far. But I think the person who hits some really good mid and short iron shots into the greens on their approach shots is going to find a lot of success.
Well, I think our listeners who are unfamiliar with the course maybe would be surprised at, you know, the elevation changes. I mean, it's a little bit hilly, it's undulating, and there's probably more water than people expect for Memphis anyway. What do you see as a problem for somebody who's particularly long off the tee, or are there problems for someone who maybe is a shorter guy off the tee?
You know, I would say the shorter players off of the tee are going to find those challenges because their second shot into the green is going to be a little bit longer. And they're going to be coming into some pretty undulating greens on holes where the wind could be swirling at a high rate, and they're having to hit, you know, 3, 4, and 5 irons into those greens. And then once you get on the green, you know, all bets are off. Very slick, undulating greens, you know, making putts for birdie can be very difficult. So I mean, obviously favors the longer hitters. They can still get in trouble because we have some pretty strategic fairway bunkering. But, you know, the shorter hitter that's going to be hitting a longer iron into the greens is definitely at a disadvantage.
All right. So last year, 267, 13 under wins the golf tournament. Year before that, 270, and then 268, 271, 267. We're kind of hanging around that double-digit number. What do you think? Is it going to take, you know, 13 or 14 or 15 under to win this year, or is it going to be closer to that 9, 10, 11 number?
I think we're probably going to be around that 9, 10, 11 number. And a lot of that can be weather-driven as well. Me personally, I think anywhere from 10 to 13 under par is a great score to win a golf tournament because you're going to see some birdies. And whoever wins the golf tournament on Sunday is going to play well, especially down the stretch, and capitalize on some opportunities and make birdies on difficult holes. So I'm kind of hoping it hangs around that 10, 11, maybe 12 number, and you know, we see some exciting golf coming down the stretch.
Yeah, now what's the number that your regular sort of daily players would be looking at as, you know, when they start to compare their own games to it? Do they want to see guys go really low or scores that are sort of more or less accessible to them?
Probably more so accessible to them just because they play the golf course every day and they know how hard it is. And they want the golf course to kind of to hold its own and be a bear and be a good prep for the U.S. Open the next week. That's something we kind of take pride in. You don't want to see that winning score get up to 20 under par. You know, you want the golf course to kind of maintain its integrity a little bit and withstand some of the wrath that the best players in the world can bring.
Yeah, you know, and I was curious about this event. I mean, it's so tied to the community. I mean, FedEx, home base, St. Jude's right there. I mean, tournaments love the idea of having local sponsorship, local activity. Does that give you guys some advantages there, or are there disadvantages to having everybody right there?
I think it's a huge advantage. Obviously, you know, FedEx World Headquarters being a next-door neighbor and just a huge partner for us in general, the PGA Tour and TPC Southwind. And then having St. Jude here in town, it just ties the community together as a whole and really makes, you know, the next couple weeks in our community very special. Everyone works very well together, and we're really looking forward to a great and successful couple weeks.
All right, Nick, before we let you go, I want to ask this question. We always see it. We see it here in Charlotte. Mike's a tournament director for the Symetra Tour here in Charlotte. What really is the difference between the course that the guys get to play, the guys and the ladies get to play, you know, every day, you know, let's say 49 or 50 weeks out of the year, that makes it different when the PGA Tour players get there? What do they do to the course different that makes it that much more difficult and that much more impressive when these guys go low on these golf courses?
Yeah, it's all in the greens. Green speeds will get to around probably 13 or 14 throughout the course of the week, which is pretty respectable speed. And the hole locations that are cut for the PGA Tour players whenever they come into town are very difficult. And the scores that they're shooting on those greens with those hole locations are very impressive. Probably a little bit easier during our normal member play days throughout the course of the other 51 weeks of the year. But I'd say that's one of probably the bigger differences as far as making the golf course, at a tournament level and ready for the best players in the world.
Well, Nick, we really appreciate you coming on with us. Have a great tournament week, and we'll be watching. I know Mike's going to be watching for the Carnage on 11 through 15. I'll be looking for the guys to make a bunch of birdies.
You and me both.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.